Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Are you drinking?
Nope.
Ah, oh, Jesus, Cole.
What?
Why do you always have to be the responsible one?
I just don't have any beer in the house.
Ah. Huh. That's weird.
Yeah. No, I didn't feel like leaving the house this weekend. So, well, I guess that's a lie. I went to that Christmas party last night. But other than that.
With our jeans, Jesus.
I don't like that one bit. What do you mean with our jeans?
No, I think we, aren't we alcoholics by trade?
I don't know.
I think we are. That's why I'm drinking from a wine bottle.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
What, directly from the bottle?
Oh, yeah. Glasses.
Huh. You've been on that wine kick for like a year now, haven't you?
No, I buy it, you know, for the women that I don't have, but, right. No, I get it with rebates. So like a bottle of wine with a rebate and everything. If you buy in bulk and then get a rebate for like $1.90 a bottle.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that's like a cheap hangover, right?
Yeah, that's the cheapest way to most assuredly get a hangover I have ever heard about.
Mad Dog? Actually,
yeah.
That's not. It's
Mad Dog 4040 or whatever.
It's Lindemann's.
Lindemann's
2020, I think it's called.
20.
I think it really is. I think it's Mad Dog 2020.
Hindsight.
Yeah. A Red Mutt.
Oh, has the actual taste of dog.
Right.
Yeah. No, I can't. I can't do wine.
I read a little bit about Gary Busey today.
Okay.
Because I heard that he was nominated for an Academy Award for playing Buddy Holly.
Yeah. You know that because of our stepfather. Who always watches the Buddy Holly story and says, you know, he was nominated for a Best Actor Award for this, right?
No.
I don't know. Maybe I walk out and see him watching that more often than you do.
I've never seen him watch that.
Yeah, he watches it all the time.
Buddy Holly is the one that taught me how to destroy my sweater.
Yep.
But no. Yeah. So I was like, this was a conversation with our stepfather. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is Gary Busey, like, why is he mental?
Motorcycle accidents.
And see, that was the thing, is that came up second. And the first thing was drug abuse. And I was like, really? Like, Gary Busey did drugs?
Yeah.
So then I thought, you know, if you have your skull crushed.
Yeah.
You know, that's one. And I don't watch Celebrity Rehab or any of the rest of that mess.
Yeah.
But,
No, you stick to Triple G.
Well, you know, I have your Netflix.
Yes, you do. You just see me go back and forth between Bob's Burgers and Futurama. Well,
I gave you something in exchange. I know.
No, you gave me the Sam's Club.
Right.
Yeah.
Call me a deadbeat.
I wasn't calling you a deadbeat. It's just funny that we haven't broken it into profiles yet. So I see all of the crazy stuff you watch and you get to see me watch the same shows over and over again.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, and it evidently Gary Busey's cocaine addiction got so bad that he dropped a bag on his dog and then snorted cocaine right off of his dog.
And that dog's name
was Brian.
It was Snow Mule. Huh. So he just got down there. It seems like a very inefficient medium. I think cocaine.
Well, he didn't do it on purpose.
I know. He's making lemons out of a cocaine covered dog. Huh.
He said, "Did you see what God just did to me?"
That wasn't God, you maniac.
Huh. You're a fucking narcotics agent. I knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good story. Here's where I thought you were going with that. He dropped a bag of cocaine on his dog and the dog died because he rolls deep vis-a-vis the amount of cocaine that he has in one place at one time.
No, I don't think he ever had a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he had like a, you know, a usable amount.
Hmm. You know,
he wasn't moving keys.
Right. Kilos.
Right.
Okay. Huh. I don't know. I'm looking at Gary Busey's filmography, and he hasn't
done much.
No, he hasn't. I think that his various impediments have made him more of a sideshow feature.
He was on Gunsmoke.
Yeah, I'm seeing that here. He was on Scrubs. Okay, this is us reading the Wikipedia. And I think that, yeah, so I've seen a lot of these movies, but the two that stick out are the Buddy Holly story for the aforementioned reasons, and also Black Sheep, also known as Tommy Boy Part 2.
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon, he was in there. Under Siege, which is crazy movie.
Now, what a lot of people don't know is that the house from...
House.
Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
The house from House's house. The house from Christmas Vacation. The next door neighbors, Todd and Margo.
Yes. Yes.
So that house is on a Warner Brothers lot. And that house was actually the house also used as Murdoch's house in Lethal Weapon.
Hmm.
And if you go around the corner in that same neighborhood, which can be seen from the long shot of the police rolling up that road after they steal Mr. McFurley.
Right.
That's the Bewitched house is over there too.
The house from the 60s and 70s television series Bewitched.
Exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was with Sergeant York.
Not the newly developed Michael J. Fox vehicle Betwitched.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't sanction that one bit.
Yeah, well, you don't have to. I mean, NBC did.
Oh, he was in Predator 2. That's cool. I've seen way more Gary Busey movies than I realize.
He was the Predator's leg.
Yep. He was uncredited. Oh, turns out he was the voice of Captain Skyhawk. I'm thinking of Airwolf. He was the voice of Airwolf. I'm going to navigate away from this because I'm looking at what probably is if not the only selfie I will sanction. Like, oh, yeah, this needs to exist. But also a selfie that I'm surprised exists given the time period. Okay?
What?
I'm looking at a picture of Jeff Bridges taking a picture of himself and Sam Elliott on the set of The Big Lebowski, sitting at the bar. It's like a real wide panorama shot. They've got the bowling lanes, the bowling alley behind them. They're both in costume. Sam Elliott's looking like a badass right at the camera. Yeah.
What else do I know Sam Elliott from? Does he make cheese balls or like what does he do? Pour wine with some almonds on the outside or what?
Just hot glue to the outside of the bottle.
What does Sam Elliott do?
He's an actor.
Chewing tobacco, or
yes, he made chewing tobacco.
Does he have a couch he endorses?
Yeah, he's got a cow couch.
What has he done, really?
No, he is the notable cowboy for movies.
What movie? Tombstone?
Well, The Big Lebowski.
Huh.
Yeah. No, he's one of those like old actor guys, right? Not especially old, but like he hasn't been in a whole lot of big stuff until like here recently. And by recently, I mean since like the
1996,
so it was in Tombstone. He was Virgil Earp. So, yeah.
Yeah. Christmas Vacation had a budget of $26 million.
That's crazy high for a comedy, isn't it?
The special effects laden movie Ghostbusters cost $30 million.
Yeah, I can believe that having a really high budget.
Opening weekend, Christmas Vacation was beat out by Back to the Future 2.
Huh.
Yep.
I could see that. Beloved, you know, they're both entries in Beloved series. I don't know. Yeah, holiday movies generally don't do well at the box office, though. So,
there's the working that. Title for Christmas Vacation was Holidays of 59.
Why?
Because that's what it was based off of. And if you look at the old movies that Clark is watching in the attic, it says Christmas 59 on the outside of like the film case.
So, was it always meant to be an entry in the Vacation series?
Yes.
Oh, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was it, like that's its code name, right? Holidays of 59.
0059.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any more Christmas vacation factoids?
Oh, I have lots of continuity errors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that movie. Like, that is one that has stuck with me. And like,
we watched it last night as a family.
Oh, cool. I'm happy to hear that.
I didn't feel like anything was missing, actually.
Yeah, no. All was right with the world.
I was at
a Christmas party.
Instead of making the experience horrible for everyone with me saying the lines before they were said,
right,
I decided to do research and look for goofs and mistakes.
Oh, just to pick the movie apart at its seams? So did you have a laser pointer?
I'm convinced everyone on that was hammered because they fucked up.
Okay. So for the Christmas Vacation super fans out there, can you give any cuts that they're going to recognize based on your description?
Yeah. When Clark said he's going to set the land speed world record and he goes down the hill to sled, you can look down the hill before he goes and you can see there's pink cables and it looks like someone drug a stick in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the pink cables, and those are the pyrotechnics for the fire trail when he goes. You can see that, like, super plainly.
Hmm. Is this, like, one of those things that only shows up in high def?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I was watching it on Blu-ray.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like how the VHS transfer of Pee-wee's Big Adventure shows you the chain underneath the bike as he's pulling it out, and it shows you the tracks outside the car
pushing the signs. Yeah.
You know, when Large Marge is driving him around at night, but in the DVD transfer they fixed all that.
The Blu-ray, it's all there.
Yeah. Well, it gives you an option so you can choose with goofs or without goofs, which is the only humane way to do it, I think.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about Blu-rays.
I don't own one, so
yeah. I asked for a set for Christmas, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, yeah. It's so hard to come up with Christmas gift ideas because I buy everything.
I heard if you were a podcast guy, you could talk about stuff you wanted and people would send you it.
It doesn't really work that way. I mean, maybe, you know, if our fans were, you know, nice, but they just send us money and shit, so I don't know.
Yeah, but like just like something special for you. It's the holidays. Things. Maybe you should just talk about stuff you want, Cole.
No,
like,
I don't want.
What do you want?
I don't. There's nothing I want aside from
like a little Asian stepchild or what?
Yeah. Call him Tim. We go on adventures.
Yeah.
Go up to Fort Ancient. Show him all like, the bones.
His mom's been treated real bad, so you can just like do what you want, you know?
Yeah. That's terrible. No, like there's really nothing I want more than just time to do more of this stuff, you know, like that's really the only thing that's not really in my life is more time.
Hey, right? The fact that anybody gives you anything is good, right?
I know. Yeah. And that's why people who listen closely would hear me sheepishly apologizing underneath this. You know, it's like, yes, I do appreciate the generosity. I'd rather people didn't send me, you know, actual things, just, you know, support the network. And that way, cool things can happen. But sometimes I get like a gift. I get a gift on Steam. Somebody sees something on my wish list and they're like, hey, this is $5. Have fun. And that is always a very nice. That is always a very nice thing. But
now, can I make one of those? Like, do you think people would send me stuff?
I don't know.
Like what's on Steam? What do they got?
You can try. That's video games mostly.
Oh.
Yeah, there's they have like some software and stuff. You have no idea what
can
Steam
I link
is.
To my Amazon wish list, or you know, like
I would feel very ethically weird about that. I don't know why.
I'm not saying you gotta.
Right. I don't know. Let's make it a buy request thing. Yeah. I haven't maintained my Amazon wish list in years. There's books on there that I already own.
you're an adult now, though, you know?
Yeah. You know, in a sense, I'm a version of an adult.
We've been doing this for a long time, haven't we?
The show?
Yeah.
Like in number of years?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 4 years.
Yeah, that's right. How many episodes do you think?
160.
Really?
Yeah. What's your name again?
Well, I'm Chris.
And my name's Cole.
Well, why are we here?
For a podcast, I guess.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, what's it called?
Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah, we're here to entertain your asses. Yeah, you know the Christmas thing is it's apropos. This is the last episode before Christmas comes, and I'm making a point to say this on every episode of the show that comes out this week. I hope everybody has a happy and safe holiday. Don't do anything stupid. We want you to be around.
Oh, it is. Yeah, this will be out on the 23rd.
Yes, the 23rd, also known as Festivus, Frogger Chinese restaurant. Feats of strength, right?
Airing of grievances.
Yeah.
I don't like you.
You want a piece of me? Yeah, it's so we've had this thing at work. We've wanted to do lunchtime airings of like an episode of Seinfeld, right? So we would, you know, wait until 8 after the hour so everybody gets their lunches and stuff in order, and we'd be in a room with a screen and we'd play an episode of Seinfeld and watch it together in silence, and then spend the rest of the lunch hour discussing it as you do, as a way to kind of get through the series. But it's never really come together in a satisfying way.
Why?
I don't know. Lack of initiative. No.
Have you ever watched an episode ever
of Seinfeld?
Yeah. At work.
No.
Well, that's the start. You have to start somewhere.
you have to start with actually
putting one on.
Yeah. Well, like with everything, Chris, like with literally everything, the presentation tech is what's standing in the way.
You work at a technology company.
Yes. But have you ever tried getting AirPlay to work? Have you ever tried plugging a computer into a projector?
Have you ever tried getting the DVD series of it? You guys make a lot of money per... Why don't you just make a... I don't know, like a 3-second video, and you could pay for the whole series.
Yeah, I guess we could. I don't know. Well, like we have enough of the DVD box sets like floating around the office that we could easily put it together. But just the logistics, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you're the owner of your company, would just stop buying small boats to put in his big boat. No, just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, but that's
Nobody owns a boat. I mean,
I don't know either.
I don't own a boat.
Neither do I.
I can tell you that.
I don't know that I would want to own a boat. I had a dream last night.
I chased people on jet skis.
wait a minute. Were you on a jet ski too? Or were you just running after them?
Hey,
guys.
That looks fun.
as they vanish to pinpricks on the horizon. Skipping over the waves. You ever ridden on a jet ski?
The large-breasted woman embraced deeply in a kiss and looked back at me and went, ha, 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 ha.
It's bouncing away. Have you ever ridden a jet ski?
Every part of her. No, never.
No? In my life. Nope. I have. I have once.
Oh, look at you.
Look at me. The engine was bum. It was a bad engine on the one, so it didn't go really fast.
Where was this?
This was in Chincoteague, Virginia.
Yeah.
Where the
horses swim.
Yeah, where the
the salmon of Capistrano.
Yep. Is that another Christmas vacation thing? No, that's
Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber. Dummy.
Yeah. Huh. Is Dumb and Dumber 2 out?
Yeah. Hard.
It looks really bad.
It is. I actually downloaded it and didn't watch the rest of it. So.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah. Might still be on my hard drive.
Huh.
Giggity.
Giggity goo. Yeah, no.
Yep. No, it is. Yeah. Dumb and Dumber 2.
Hmm.
Even, and St. Vincent.
Huh.
Even, sad movie.
Yeah. It's Latter Day Bill Murray. It'll happen.
No, it's not that.
No?
He's not. No. I feel good for him.
Oh, okay.
I don't feel bad for him. He's got the world by the balls.
Him, the person, him as actor.
Capital him, Cole.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, no, even on a half-broken jet ski, it was still a really good experience. I have to say.
Would you cruise the Ohio River?
Or? Fetid bog water. No, like, to me, that seems like something that would be more economical if you rented it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can pick one up for like $10.
I suppose. Just like go around looking for divorce sales. That's a thing, right?
No, jet skis are sold in almost divorce sales.
Okay.
Just making me get rid of the jet ski.
Get put it up on Craigslist.
Campers go in divorce sales.
Campers? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. From whence comes this knowledge of the economics of frivolity?
Well, it just makes sense. Like, she's like, oh, I'm going to take this house, and then I'm going to make you sell the house you're living in.
Okay. Yeah.
The camper.
I don't know. I kind of feel the same way about boats, actually. I don't see the sense in owning a boat. But, I don't have a nautical lifestyle. I'm not nautical by nature. That was a title a long time ago.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nautical by nature.
Yep.
Must have been something you said.
Yeah, probably.
Twice.
It's separated by years. That probably happens a lot more often than you would think. I don't know. There are good times to be had on boats. Hey, Chris, do you have a story?
I do. A guy named Andrew Shannon said he was mad at the government.
As one is wont to do.
Yeah. So he went to the National Gallery, the Art Museum of Ireland, and decided that he was going to put his hand, punch through a $12 million Monet painting.
This happens.
So they were like, hey, dude, not cool, because you just fucking punched a painting. It's like $12 million painting, like it's on loan. We're going to give you, I don't know, 5 years in prison.
Okay.
And suddenly he wasn't angry so much as he said he felt faint and kind of fell over into the painting.
Okay.
And so I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, whoever would have dreamt you'd get 5 years for punching a painting?
Yeah, that's destroying, like, cultural legacy.
You could punch through like five women into a painting and get like 18 months.
Right. But that says, more about like the laws regarding violence against women.
Or anything. You could punch through it, name it.
Uh-huh.
You could punch through anything in America and not get that long.
Yeah.
You know, you might get a warning.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if you do this five more times, we're going to be really upset. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, something has to be done. I don't know.
I think that's crazy. Like 5 years for punching a painting. That's nuts.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was found guilty after 90 minutes of deliberation by the jury.
It seems like more of the deliberation would happen in sentencing as opposed to, you know, deciding whether or not he did the thing.
Yeah, I don't know how it works there, but
it's like determining years. who hit my car. We'll just check the paint, like check his fist. Does this look like a very blurry face? Then yes, that was him.
No, like most great paintings, it was of a boat.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Was it an especially big boat?
No, it was just a boat transporting horses, which makes it a much better painting.
Makes it a horse boat.
Horse boat.
Yeah.
That was the name of it, actually.
Horseboat Sunset. Yeah, that's that is something that happens often. It seemed like every other chapter of my art history book in college related to some kind of political act of passion or crime surrounding a piece of art. Right. Like, especially in older European countries where they're really, really, where they really value art as, like, again, like I said, the cultural heritage. Oftentimes people who are dissatisfied will go in and either steal a painting or try and deface it as a way to, you know, strike out at the very culture that they see as, you know, hurting them, harming them. Such was the case with Edvard Munch's The Scream. Actually, it's been stolen several times, actually, and for the longest time, like, nobody knew where it was until it just, like, turned up.
Where'd they hear it?
What's that? they had to keep it in a box full of blankets to muffle the screams. Yeah. That wasn't so much interesting. Okay. It was interesting. It wasn't funny. I really don't know what else to say about the fact that this is a, there's a footage of somebody stealing the Scream. They're carrying it along like you would carry an IKEA print. That's pretty good. It's like from a security camera, just scrambled. Hey, look at the little guy go. Neat. Yeah. 5 years though.
It's a long time.
That is a long time. People get it's indignant. You have the definition of something, right? Like you got these. You heard about these mayo companies?
Hellman's,
really. Yeah, not really the mayo companies. The one, like this crazy. So Unilever owns everything. You may not know this, but they own everything. For work,
they have that logo that looks like a QR code, right?
Yep. And boy, if you want to have some fun, look up one of these big companies like Unilever or P&G or PepsiCo and see if there are any published brand guidelines about their logo and where it comes from and the use.
Okay.
Yeah. Specifically the Pepsi logo. That one is especially funny, especially entertaining, because they pull in all kinds of this is the pattern of like magnetism around the Earth's core, and they pull in like, oh, you know, in 1604 Galileo found the orbital pattern, and this informs the, you know, so and so. It is it will definitely make you think, yes, large companies are crazy, and the idea of a brand is entirely unsustainable at a human level. In fact, it exists to demean us all. However, Unilever owns everything. Ben and Jerry's, Breyers, Lipton, Mrs. Filbert's. I don't know what that is. Some kind of tree nut company, I assume.
They make soup.
Yep. Mrs. Filbert's extra chunky. Yeah. Slim Fast, Close Up, Noxzema, Q-tips, Vaseline. Yeah, they have a larger product portfolio than even like Johnson & Johnson. It's crazy. And they are really, really angry at a technological, let's say, marvel? Like a new breakthrough that seeks to make mayonnaise, as we understand it, as we know it, obsolete. So mayonnaise being a combination of oil and water, using eggs, chicken eggs in particular, as an emulsifier to keep them from separating. This company making a different kind of non-egg mayo got rid of the eggs and like, okay, cool. But this, you know, Unilever, the people behind Hellman's Mayo, are like, no, you can't call that mayonnaise. You can't call that mayonnaise because they're saying it's chasing them out of business. And there are many different ways that this story can go, but I think it's going to go this way. I really don't like mayonnaise, so they can do whatever they want. Nothing? You're just not going to give me anything?
I don't think that I've ever gone to look for mayonnaise. There's Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip.
There's mayonnaise, and then they call just like mayonnaise in general salad dressing.
Where?
That's what it is. That's how it started, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
As salad dressing.
And then we turned it into ranch.
No, I'm not saying it was used for salad dressing. Mm-hmm. I think that like vanilla, would you agree that most, like all ice cream starts as vanilla and then it turns into something else?
Vanilla is the default.
Well, it's not even necessarily the default. I'm saying that like you make ice cream, it is vanilla, and then it becomes something else.
I think that there is plain ice cream that turns into something else. I think that vanilla just happens to be the non-colored version of it that has vanilla added to it.
You'd be wrong.
What?
But
so you're saying that vanilla ice cream has no vanilla, or that every single flavor of ice cream has vanilla in it? The vanilla is the base template. Okay, so it is Schrodinger's ice cream that it both has and does not have vanilla as a matter of course.
I don't know the Schrodinger guy, but probably.
Okay.
I'm saying that mayonnaise, in its base form at the beginning, was called salad dressing. Before there was ranch, before there was Italian, before there was an earth.
Uh-huh. There was a single jar of mayonnaise.
There was salad dressing.
Okay.
I'm saying Unilever or whoever made mayonnaise. That's a name. Like no, that's a brand name.
Sauce mayonnaise is the French name for the concoction.
Okay. Right? But even before the French decided that they weren't going to fight wars, there was salad dressing.
Okay. But salad dressing has pretty much always been, up until fairly recently, vinegar and oil.
No, not at all. No, that was for people who just didn't have the balls to make a choice.
People who didn't want to have high fructose corn syrup on their leafy greens.
No, there's no high fructose corn syrup on shit, man. I'm what? Telling you. That's not...
In every single salad dressing, it's there. It's crazy. Italian. Just look at the ingredients on the back of a bottle of Italian dressing, which should be closest to my preference, which is oil, vinegar, and a little bit of salt and pepper, right? You would think that would be good. No, it turns out that it's super sweet because they added sugar to it. Sorry, I'm making this back into a Cole's preference thing.
Cole, mayonnaise, the word wasn't used until the 1900s.
Huh.
However, when Jesus sat down at the Last Supper and had spinach, there was a mayonnaise salad dressing. That's Arabic for salad dressing, Cole.
Huh.
Yep.
Neat.
Yeah.
And we have just reached that point where we've said mayonnaise enough that the word has lost all meaning to me now.
Yeah, I don't remember what we were talking about.
No, neither do I. You were very vehement about a thing that I don't think actually matters a lot to you.
It's not even real. I made it all up.
Okay, cool. I don't know. Spreading misinformation. Yes.
My neck hurts really bad.
I'm sorry. Do you need to lay down?
No, I don't think it's going to matter.
Oh.
It really hurts. I think I need some Taco Bell.
Okay.
No, it hurts bad. I don't know.
Okay, wait, no, you're glossing over this. Why would Taco Bell solve your problem?
I don't know. I haven't eaten anything today. And
oh, well, that would probably be a problem if you haven't
late
eaten anything
today. I've Googled all the places in town where I could get some food.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to reheat some chili, and that sounds awful.
Yeah, like late night 10 p.m. chili.
Ugh.
Yeah, no, that seems bad. That seems like a bad idea.
Some boiling bag rice.
Ugh. Yeah, I broke down and bought a rice cooker.
You know what? I actually saw one that was on sale, and it said some sort of like Logic type of rice cooker. I think it was like Panasonic.
Okay.
And I thought, Cole probably has one of those.
That's... We were both in the store at the same time. No, I got sick and tired of having really grainy quinoa. And it's like, go ahead.
I'm really sick and tired of using pots.
No, it's tough. I did my research because I thought the same as you that
you should have one.
Yep. Which is why I went with a coupon and bought the cheapest one that I could at Bed Bath & Beyond. But I did my research on the principles of the rice cooker, and I realized, it's actually not bullshit. Roger Ebert was a huge fan back when he had a mouth. And it's pretty neat. Like my quinoa and rice game has never been more on point than when I bought a rice cooker, which Murph Murphy will be super happy to hear that I'm slowly embracing the ways of rice. You remember that, right? Has that ever been brought to your attention? There was a minor controversy back a couple years ago when I made the assertion that there are only two kinds of rice. This was back when you were on your sushi kick.
No, I still am. Do it all the time.
Nice. Okay, cool. That's good. I'm happy. I'm happy you found something you enjoy.
I like making it.
Yeah.
I don't like eating it.
It's just making it, throw it right in the garbage.
I don't like sashimi.
Right, right. No, you just make nice little rice dishes. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I
make it sound so quaint.
I jokingly asserted that there is no that there are only two kinds of rice, white and brown, and people to this day, Murph chief among them, still give me shit about that. But I am slowly embracing.
It's very Ron Swanson of you.
What to say? Oh yeah, there are only two kinds of rice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I have to say, rice cooker. For the $12 that I spent on it, a pretty good investment. Yeah.
I have a story about hating where we live.
Okay.
This story is about the extra fridge that people in the Midwest have.
Okay.
We have extra refrigerators. We have one in the garage. We have one in the basement.
So it uses a lot of power.
The name of this fridge just makes me want to die.
Okay.
It's called, quote, the beer and deer fridge.
Oh no.
Yeah.
The beer and deer fridge.
Right. Yeah.
And this is a phenomenon specific to the Midwest, or does this extend
it's a Midwest thing.
So is what is the correlation?
Almost like 40% of the people in the Midwest have them.
A second fridge. Are we talking specifically homeowners?
I think, yeah. I don't know, households.
Yeah. Right.
That's in terms of.
Is there a direct correlation between beer and deer fridges and man caves?
No, just beer and deer fridge.
Burn deer fridge.
Yeah. 15% of the burn deer fridges are at least 20 years old, and they cost these people in these households an extra average $150 a year just to have it plugged in.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Yep.
And that is specifically, like, it says it in the name why people have them, in order to store mass quantities of self-killed meat and alcoholic beverages.
I'm all about local sourcing, Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Field to plate, man.
Field to plate to fork to mouth.
That's what I'm about.
Yeah. Nothing's more local than 20 foot in front of my pickup.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty upsetting. Like, where did you I don't normally ask you.
That's what's on my estate profile.
Estate?
Shame date.
Oh, shame date. Okay. I thought it was like South date, and I was going to be very upset. Although I guess South date would just be Christian mingle. Find God's match for you.
No, that's Farmer's Hump.
Oh, wait, there is that one, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so.
It's not Farmer's Hump, but it's like the commercials for it are great. Commercials are like, nobody understands a country girl, but
no. Are your dip tins full? No.
If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. And by ring, I mean a dip ring in the back pocket of your Levi's.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh man, I wonder if
first step to making her pregnant is taking her shoes off. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, those commercials are ridiculous. I wonder if those are on YouTube. Those are pro watch. If you're listening to this, stop everything.
Oh God. Yeah. Good. It's good. It's good.
Let me see here. Yes, farmersonly.com.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dirty boots to the front of the line. Yep. Everybody, like, the commercial is great because it's only in, everybody's only in silhouette.
Stomp a mud hole in that mud hole.
Yep. Don't put your dick in these holes. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty good. Farmers Only. Look it up on YouTube. It's great.
Milking's done when milking's done.
Oh man, just churning, but God damn it, Chris! Now this is in my Google history. Fuck.
Farmersonly.com.
Yeah. success stories include couples from California, North, and South Dakota. Chris, I can't emphasize this enough.
Farmers who wandered in the library for directions.
Saw the homeless people masturbating at the computers. They're like, I want a piece of this. Wisconsin, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Montana, and New York.
Why are these dirty street people jerking off against Jesus?
In spite of? Chris, their tagline is, city folks just don't get it.
Why are you jerking off facing away from the nativity?
Man, oh man. It's so
least you could do is face the wise man.
Face Balthazar, show him what you did. Malachi, you nasty.
Oh, Jesus. Little baby Jesus.
Okay, I've officially run out of the names of the wise men that I know.
Dennis.
Yep. Dennis, you nasty. Oh, I think I also called him Malachi. It's actually Melchior. So
you know, they're all candy bars.
The last one is Caspar. Oh well. At least I know Balthazar, Chris. We're always going to have Balthazar because he nasty. Chris, the site received national attention when ABC Nightland followed a non-rural woman with no farming background from Des Moines. On a first date with a rural man in Wahoo, Nebraska. Wow. Oh, it also accommodates both heterosexual and rural gay users. Which
accounts for 99%.
Chris, city folk just don't understand.
That's what we call a backwoods hookup.
Call it a trailer hitch.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, this is crazy. This is a pro. I know that it is a usual gag of us reading Wikipedia on the show, but there is a Wikipedia article called Queerness and Ruality. Yeah, Rurality?
Reality.
Queerness and rurality, which that is funny. It's like it's about the social dynamics of navigating those community spaces when you don't fit into the traditional moral standards associated with rural life. Huh.
Been there, done that.
Neat. Well, that's good. I'm happy that there's a community. No, Chris, no, nobody should be alone unless they want to be. So I don't normally ask you for your sources, but what is where did you find out about beer and deer fridges?
Oh, it's on the interwebs.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from. Divine?
I think it's crazy. So I talk about this a lot, but how many people from around where we live like embrace this, like, I'm a country lifestyle or aesthetic.
Right.
You know, like going nuts.
I think there's a difference.
What, that one is primarily based on hatred of black people or?
No, I think that like there's certain people who want to live that life and then others that make you try to see that they are.
Hmm. Yeah. Parking their pickup truck in the front lawn, as it were.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the people at the end of the road our parents live on.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's pretty good.
Our parents live on a street that was I guess you could say part of the early to mid 90s boom of home building and economic prosperity. And we grew up in a town where General Motors like ruled for like 40 years and everything was like gangbusters. And, you know, if you worked at the factory, like you just graduated from high school and you went and you worked in the factory for like, you know, $30 an hour. You went and worked at the steel mill for like, you know, the same, and everything was good and great. And you had like 8 kids and everything was great. And then those kids went to work in the same factory and then they grew up and then they built the houses that we grew up in. And just so happened that our parents worked for the state, and so they kind of got caught up in that. But anyway, at the same time that this development was happening, these General Motors people were also building a home on the same street. And the, what do you say? Do you say Providence?
Provenance?
Yes.
Provenance.
Provenance of those people versus us. And I'm saying at one end of the street versus the other are completely different. And that we sat on our couch and the people at the end of the road light their couch on fire in their front yard. we hold our guns for a threat. The people on the end of the road shoot their guns in the air because it's New Year's.
Because Balthazar, you nasty.
Yeah, exactly. Because I smelled frankincense. Yeah, so that's that. So those people down there at that end, they have mowers, they have trucks, they have trailers, I guess a boat.
More dogs than people?
Yeah. People acting like dogs.
Yeah. It's like a white trash gradient.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like so. and like, you know, beyond them, beyond the end of the road is just a bunch of deer farms.
It's on the Shawshank tour, so.
Yeah. So if you're ever in town, stop on by.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
Pinot Grigio on ice.
Ugh, that's not like it like in the wine?
Oh, cold, it's awful.
Why?
Cuz there was ice in the cup.
Okay, cool. No, so I think that I don't drink wine. I've never acquired a taste for wine because of logistical problems. I know that if I open a bottle of wine, I'm committed to either drinking all of it or wasting a sizable portion of it.
See, yeah, that's the problem. That's why I'm drinking this. It's because I opened this bottle like a week ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Once you're in, you're in. I mean, you open it, you're in for a bottle.
Yeah. So does it stay good? Because my understanding is that it turns into like vinegar like right away.
Nah.
No, you can keep it around.
For a week.
Okay. So on the occasions where I've stumbled into a bottle of wine and felt compelled to drink the whole thing in one day, that is an incorrect assumption, and I made myself very sick for no reason.
No, I would drink it in a day.
Okay.
You're going to feel like a polar bear with a, you know, a street cone on your face, but.
Let's leave them with that image.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Oh, Chris, do you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Yeah. Have a safe and happy holiday. I know I said it somewhere toward the middle of the episode, but I cannot underline it enough. We want you to stick around and be alive and enjoy this time if you are a person to enjoy this time. And thank you so much for listening over the course of this year. It's been great. But other than that, other than staying alive, there's the usual stuff. Facebook, iTunes, Patreon. You can access all of those from duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids. Sorry, America.
Sorry.